Welcome back. You're listening to On Background here on WKXL 109, 1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. New show with my friend Paul Steinhauser and I, presented by the New Hampshire Healthcare Association. Honored to be joined on the program right now by our good friend, individual who we got to know very well on the campaign trail back in 2015 and 16. He is the governor of Ohio, John Kasich. Governor Kasich, how are you?
Great. Good to be with you guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, and appreciate you joining us for the program. I'm interested in hearing from you in regards to what you think Republicans have either been able to do or failed to do in regards to policy the last year. There's obviously the opportunity for transformative policy on taxes, on health care, and it seems like there has been an unwillingness to really roll up their sleeves and create policy that benefits all.
Well, I think it's, you know, campaign promises sometimes are hard to fulfill, and you know, when the argument was we need to repeal Obamacare, well, we needed to know what you were going to replace it with, and if what you were going to do was going to leave, you know, 20 million Americans without health insurance, that's not a policy that's going to go over very well, and you're going to have trouble rallying the forces behind that. And when you think about a state like New Hampshire, which has had this enormous challenge as it's related to the problems of opiates and all that, you know, things like Medicaid expansion have provided additional resources, you know, at the real level. I mean, part of the problem, guys, is that when you're in Washington, things are pretty theoretical. Mm-hmm. But when you're at home and you're, you know, the mayor or you're the governor, all of a sudden, these things are very real. These are real problems that lay in front of you. And I think what happened on the health care was that a lot of people who live at home, people who actually live their daily lives, said, no, this isn't going to be good for me. And so that's why that policy failed. Now, does Obamacare need to be reformed? There's no question it does, and there can be significant reforms. But it has to be done in a way in which people aren't going to have massive loss of health insurance. The tax bill that is passing, that's an issue that tends to unite Republicans because we all believe in smaller government and we believe in lower taxes. Now, we did a tax bill in Ohio, a number of them, but what we did was try to make sure that as we reduced the rate at the top, we also made sure that people who were the working poor would also get some advantages. And I hope as they reshape this bill, and we didn't cut taxes more than what we could afford. And so here in the state, we're up almost 500,000 jobs. We're running a $2 billion surplus. I think that was the way to do it. But they're going to move forward on a tax bill. I think on the positive side, you've had conservative appointments to the court, which has been good. And I also believe that the attitude of deregulation, the attitude that we're going to regulate with common sense, has been something that's was really needed and something that's very appealing and something they should be praised for. Outside of that, I think the foreign policy is kind of a mess right now, and we tend to be going it alone. We've become anti-trade. I mean, these are not the things that I think fly high for the Republican Party. It doesn't really represent the party that I have strongly believed in my lifetime.
Governor Kasich, I remember soon after President Trump took over in the White House, you had a meeting with him in the Oval Office. Have you had many interactions with him since then? Has he sought out your advice?
Well, I went in to see him and talked to him a lot about health care, and then I had, I think, one other call with him a little bit later. But since then, that's been about it.
Curious as well as Al Franken announced his resignation today, and in doing so, he was very critical of the fact that President Trump, given the allegations against him, remains in the Oval Office, that Roy Moore remains in the United States Senate race. Bernie Sanders has called for President Trump to think about resignation. Given the current climate, do you think that the president should give consideration to resignation as well?
I mean, we got Al Franken doing what I think is best for himself and his family. That's probably why he made that decision. The issues surrounding President Trump were issues that were talked about during the campaign. I spend my time when I either agree or disagree with Donald Trump, I spend my time on policy, and that's where I'm going to stay.
You've been outspoken, though, in your, you know, against Roy Moore in the last month. Are you upset?
Well, I've said that I thought as a nominee he should be disqualified, and as you know, not just on the basis of things that we saw with the president in this area, but in a variety of areas where I thought we diverged from two paths. One where I see you recognize problems and you try to solve them versus, you know, you look at problems and you could drive people negative. I didn't, as you know, I mean, and it's caused consternation among Republicans. I never did endorse the president. So I really don't have any more to say about it than that.
In regards to the potential of Republicans going and becoming the party of Trump, so to speak, and leaving individuals who are moderate or have a mindset that is similar to yours in regards to problem solving and working with the other side, do you view the election of Donald Trump and the direction the Republican Party is going in as squeezing out individuals who want to work with Democrats? And do you see that as the direction the party is continuing to go in, or do you think it will reverse?
I mean, there's times when you want bipartisanship, and there's sometimes when it can't be achieved. When it comes to economic programs, sometimes it's not always very easy to do. I'm a conservative, but I'm a conservative who believes in trade. I think that trade is good for our country, both economically and also geopolitically. I do believe that immigrants are a critical part of our country. I believe they bring a spark and they bring a series of talents that we would miss if we didn't have them. I do believe that we should not act just unilaterally in the world, although sometimes we might have to. I think we need to avoid that as much as possible. I am very concerned about the growing debt that we have in the country. I mean, I guess what I'm saying to you guys is that I'm the governor of Ohio, the seventh largest state. I have a right to define what it means to be Republican as much as anybody else does. The president is normally the titular head of the party. But that doesn't mean we have to walk in lockstep. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, look, I don't get any instructions from some office somewhere that tells me how to think like a Republican. I'm a conservative that believes that government should be a last resort, not a first resort. I'm a Republican that believes we should be concerned about the environment, but not worship it. I've talked about free trade. I've talked about immigration. And here in the state, what I believe my philosophy has been that, you know, it's not good enough if just the usual suspects benefit from economic growth. It needs to be across the board. We have to deal with the issue of race, deal with the issue of gun violence. I mean, all these things. So I guess I would describe myself as a conservative problem solver. And so I've got a right to talk about what I think it means to be a Republican as much as anybody else does. And so they can talk, I can respect their view, but I'm going to have my own.
Governor, last time we had a chance to see you in person here in New Hampshire was back in the early spring. You were on your book tour for Two Paths, America Divided or United. I'm wondering, we have an election year coming up next year. Are we going to see you back here, maybe helping campaign with your friend, Governor Sununu?
If I'm asked to come in and help, depending on what my schedule is, because, you know, I am the governor and I've got a lot of stuff to do out here. But, you know, I'm always willing to lend a hand. You just don't know. I've got a lot of requests now, which is nice. I don't mean that arrogantly, but it's nice. And we try to sort through the place where I can, you know, do my job here and yet still have a significant impact. So, you know, look, I'd love to come back to New Hampshire. I love the place. How could I not? You know, New Hampshire treated me so great. I have so many friends and people that I'm really affectionate about that live in New Hampshire. And, you know, I hope I'll come back. I can't tell you now. I know that Bruce Berkey, who was very instrumental in my campaign, and John Sununu, Senator Sununu, who was my chairman, I know they want me back there because I whooped them both in golf, and I know that they would like to have a rematch, but I don't know how that's what's going to happen there.
It's going to be tough playing golf here for the next couple months unless you...
And my great friend, and I would love to be able to see my great friend Gordon Humphrey. He was just a terrific guy, and he's an amazing guy, amazing American, a patriot. He's fantastic. So lots of friends that I have back there, and, you know, I got to get back up there, I guess, just so I can say hi to everybody so they don't forget about me.
Tom Petty, the late, great Tom Petty, was asked, you know, what his favorite concert moment was. And he said, I wish I could remember one of them. And that, to me, seemed a lot like the New Hampshire primary, where I'll talk to, you know, McCain or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, and it all kind of, you know, floods together when individuals try to pick out what the most significant moment or moments were for them in the New Hampshire primary. And I'm curious, you know, you wrote about it a lot in the book, so clearly you do have, you know, certain memories that stand out. I'm curious as to, you know, what stands out to you the most in regards to the New Hampshire primary.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, you know, I went up to New Hampshire and I had less than 2% name ID, and we did well over 100 town hall meetings, which I loved, and met, again, a lot of really great people. There were incidents that happened that just stick in my mind, of meeting with people, trying to talk to them about who I was, and then to have beaten everyone in that field except for Donald Trump. Heading to South Carolina, I really would have hoped, as has been the case historically, that I would have received a really enormous bump from outperforming and beating all these folks. It just never happened. The media was so fixated on Donald Trump that never happened, which never gave me the name ID early on. But look, I just love the place. I like to drive around. I like the people. I like the town. Talk about a number of things, but what really probably meant more to me than anything was the fact that we could do so many town hall meetings, and it was great. It was really electrifying, and I'm really so indebted to, you know, when I say I don't want the people there to forget about me, I don't mean forget about me politically. There were a lot of people that stuck their neck out for me. I was really unknown. These are relationships that are personal. More than they even are politically.
You do have that name recognition now, though, and we see you. You're a staple on the Sunday.
Well, yeah, it's sort of funny, Paul.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, since the election, you know, I think more people know me now than they did even when I was getting out. And, you know, everybody wants to know, well, what are you going to do? I really don't have an idea what.
How'd you know Paul was going to ask that question?
Yeah, that was
first
from my mind.
Well, look, what I'm saying is that everybody wants to know, okay, what are you going to do? And I think nobody believes me when I tell them I do not know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm not anxious about the fact that I'm going to be out. You know, I went through this once before, guys, when I was a congressman. You know, I announced I was leaving. Nobody could figure out why. I said, well, it was time to move on. And I didn't know what I was going to do, and things worked out. I like to think about that old proverb that says that the Lord will fulfill the purpose of for my life. That's what I got to do. I have to have faith that things will come. No, that doesn't mean you lay in bed. I mean, I still want to have a voice. I still have a political organization. I want to be able to participate in the national discussion and debate, but I just don't know how that's all going to work. But we'll see. I just don't know any more than that. I'm not keeping any secrets from you either. I don't know what I'm going to do.
We'll keep asking. I promise you that. And, you know, a year from now, you'll be finishing up as Ohio governor and, I guess, as you said, looking for new challenges and adventures.
Exactly right. And, you know, I have another year, and you get remembered an awful lot, not totally, but an awful lot for how you go out and I want to go out as strong as I can. You never know what minefields are out there. But I tell you what I'm happy about, guys. We're up, we're up almost 500,000 jobs. Our fiscal situation is really strong. But the other thing I'm really pleased about is those who were the least among us, at least we've tried to develop enough resources to make sure that Ohio is not just for one group of people and not everyone. And I was just in a place the other day where I saw some of the disabled out there that were working, people who before nobody had paid any attention to. They're starting to be mainstreamed. I love to see that. And those are the kind of things that I feel, you know, has been a really important part of what we've done out here.
Well, Ohio's done a great thing for the Boston sports scene, and we want to thank you so much for Kyrie Irving. That's been a real blessing for the Boston Celtics.
Unbelievable. You know, the thing is about that, guys, when they announced that trade, now I don't know as much about Isaiah Thomas as perhaps I should, and he's been injured, and hopefully he'll come back and be a great spark. But it has been amazing how tremendous the performance of Kyrie Irving has been. It's been pretty darn remarkable. So you know, I've always kind of liked the Celtics, so I'm glad to see it. But you're, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves on the Celtics over the Cavs. Please don't get it. I don't want you guys to be so disappointed.
Well, we might have to make a little wager on that down the line. But Isaiah Thomas is a great person. He's a great story. He's a fighter and a tremendous basketball player. And certainly the Boston fans, Celtics fans, and people like me who are around him with the Celtics love the guy. And hopefully he does well with the Cavaliers. It was tough to see him go. You've got to go.
You know, let me tell you one other thing that I've been noticing here about, because you guys know about sports and the NBA. The thing that I found interesting is there seems to be an awful lot of aggressiveness in that game right now. I saw the other day the kind of bumping and knocking that that Kevin Durant is putting up with. You can't have the NBA with these giant, most athletic guys in the world pounding one another. This would not lead to a good direction for basketball. But look, you know, what's most important as we get ready to leave is that everybody needs to understand, every individual listening, this is not political diatribe or something, stuff I've said for many, many years. Everybody is a leader unto themselves. Everyone watches what you do, somebody in your family or your friends. America is strong when we go from bottom up, not from top down. And so, Merry Christmas to you guys. You're terrific. I've always enjoyed the interface, and hopefully I'll see you again soon. And Paul, it wasn't that long ago that we had the whole family sitting on that couch, that white couch you had, doing that interview. We remember that. And of course, Chris, with you, so many interviews, being on the bus. It was great to be with you, and I hope to see you again soon.
Well, we hope to see you again soon as well.
Come
it was
back, Governor.
A great experience spending time with you, and we always look forward to talking to you, and you're uplifting messaging is certainly needed in this time, and we appreciate you joining us for the program.
And good luck with the show. All really right. Good luck. Best of luck. Thanks.
Thank
See you again
Governor.
Soon. We'll do it again.
All right.
Thank
sounds
you.
Good. John Kasich right. here on Background with Paul Steinhauser, and I am Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire Healthcare Association. We'll come back and take a look at toll hikes in New Hampshire. Two diverging perspectives on it. Paul talks with Andrew Valinsky, and I talk with Jeb Bradley when we return here on Background at WKXL, presented by the New Hampshire Healthcare Association.